is one of the four places on the planet where the great Kumbh Mela takes place. Kumbh Mela is the largest gathering of spiritually minded souls within the whole world. Srila Prabhupada would regularly attend the Kumbh Mela. In 1971, he added Kumbh Mela in Prayag. Again, in 1977. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was in his last year on this planet. His health was very, very much causing difficulty. But still he considered it so important because he saw the Kumbh Mela, a time when literally tens of millions of spiritually minded people and seekers of the truth come together to glorify God. He was very eager that his devotees be there, having Harinam Sankirtan, book distribution, prasad distribution. And also, even in his very old age, with his sickly body, he was very eager to preach to the people of Kumbh Mela. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 8th canto, how the asuras and the suras, on the order of Lord Vishnu, churn the ocean of milk in order to get the nectar of immortality. After churning and churning and going through so many difficulties, because of their determination, Lord Vishnu helped them in every situation. And ultimately, the avatar of Lord Narayan himself, Dhanvantari, came out holding a beautiful golden pot filled to the top with that nectar. Immediately the asuras stole the pot away from Dhanvantari. There was a great fight. There was a battle over who was going to get the nectar. During that time, it is explained that the nectar pot was kept in four places, and drops of that nectar came out in those four places. And that was Prayag, Haridwar, Ujjain, and Nasik. And the time when the nectar came to this place, according to that astrological arrangement, every 12 years during that same arrangement, the Kumbh Mela is held at each of these places. So Nasik, where we went today, at Ram Kund, Lakshman Kund, during that time, millions of people are bathing there, trying to get purified by the nectar of the mercy of Krishna. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu. The real nectar that we're all longing for is the nectar of pure devotion. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, anandam buddhivaradanam pratipatam punam radashma. The happiness of receiving that nectar is available to everyone in this age of Kali. By sincerely coming to this Sankirtan movement of chanting the holy names. Pancharati is situated within the Dandakaranya forest. This forest is very, very large. It stretches hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles in each direction. Panchavati is known by this name according to a particular story that we find in the Puranas. Suryadev, who is the demigod who supervises the affairs of the sun planet, naturally has a very effulgent body. Because to live on the sun, you have to be like the sun. Srila Prabhupada explains that in the Vedic scriptures it is declared that there is life on every planet. Sometimes modern day scientists are under the illusion that life can only exist as we know it and under the circumstances that we can survive. This is a type of egoistic conception. That if I cannot do it, no one can do it. Because we are living on this earth planet, and the earth is so much covered with water. Similarly, the contents of our body are like that. It is basically earth with lots and lots of water. Thus, we can survive comfortably in this miserable condition, living on the earth. Similarly, there are other planets where the very, very far from the sun, and we would freeze to death within a moment if we lived there. However, there are billions of living beings living on those planets with just the particular type of material body that is comfortable there. And they would die within a moment if they lived here. The speculative scientists in Saturn or Venus or whatever, they think that Earth planet, nobody could possibly survive. It's too warm. It's too hot. So similarly in the sun, people have fiery bodies. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. These are the gross elements of material existence. And there are bodies that are predominantly earth, predominantly water, predominantly fire, and also air and ether. They have even found, the scientists today, what they never could conceive of before. At the bottommost parts of the ocean they're able to go, they have actually found living organisms. They considered it's impossible under that pressure, with all that water pressure. Just how much water pressure is in the bottom of the ocean? Yet there's civilizations of organisms just going through their lives. Probably happier than us. Similarly, they have actually found living organisms living within fire. Of course, the Vedas have said this all along. What they say they discover, we say, we already knew that. We knew that thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago in our civilization. So in the sun planet, people have fiery bodies. Suryadev is the predominating ruler of the sun planet. On his chariot, he makes the sun travel according to its particular direction, giving heat, giving light, giving life to all the planets within its sphere. So Suryadev, this great demigod, was married. His wife, one name is Usha. Now what happened is she was having difficult time trying to look at her husband because his splendor was so bright. So she decided she needed some time to herself. So she went to the ashram of the great Muni, Kanva Rishi. But before she left, by her great powers, she arranged that a lady who looked exactly like her would be with her husband, Suryadev. So Suryadev was having nice experience living with his beloved wife, so he thought. But as time went by, Vivaswan, as well as his children, could recognize that this lady doesn't love her children as much as she used to. There's something wrong with her. She doesn't have that natural, intense, intimate, loving affection toward us. Suryadev was trying to figure this out. Why my wife doesn't have this attraction for my children? Then he discovered it is because she is not my wife. My wife is at the ashram of Kanva Muni hiding from me. So Suryadev came to the ashram of Kanva Muni. When Usha saw that he was coming, she disguised herself by taking the form of a female horse, also called a mare. And as a horse, when she saw her husband coming, she ran away. Suryadev is a transcendental personality. He has celestial powers. So what he did is he took the form of a horse and he ran after her. And in this way, these two horses were playing together. Now, there were five Rishi Kumars who were living in the ashram of Kanva Muni. When they saw the great ruler of the sun, Vivaswan, in the form of a horse, playing with his wife, they began to laugh. Vivaswan did not like to hear this laughing. So by his powers, he cursed them to become trees, banyan trees. And it is in this place, called Panchavati, that these banyan trees, who are the five Rishi Kumars, are still residing. Since the time of this wonderful Puranic narration, this place is known as Panchavati. And it has been a very, very great and famous place of pilgrimage. When at Panchavati, there is the river Godavari. On the east side of Godavari is Panchavati, and on the west side is Nasik. We have just been to Ramkund, which, as we explained, is called the Panchaprayag, where the Godavari, Aruna, Varuna, Saraswati, and Savitri rivers are all in order to give them a higher life by the mercy of the Lord. Actually, in Vedic society, everything is based on elevating the soul. It is the main duty of the children. It is the main duty of the parents. It is the main duty of everyone according to their social position to not only raise or elevate the position of their own souls, but all of those who are connected to you, even your forefathers. In fact, in Vedic civilization, a person has children specifically because they want those children to help elevate their souls after they die. This is love. And what is the greatest way that we can elevate somebody's soul? if we become a pure devotee, if we surrender to Krishna, then all ancestors for 22 generations, they all get liberation. That is the promise of the Lord in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Sri Ram performed some of his most intimate and important pastimes here at Panchavati. I would like to briefly summarize some of them with your permission. Lord Ram took birth with his three brothers, Bharat, Lakshman, Shatrughna, in Ayodhya. Dasarath had no children for many, many years. But with the help of the Rishi, Rishyashringa, there was a yajna performed. And in that yajna, it was announced that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would personally appear as the son of Dasarath. For what purpose? To rid the world of the demoniac influence of the great demon, Ravana. The demigods, headed by Brahma, prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that Ravana and his terrible, terrible Rakshasa associates, they are causing havoc in the world. They were literally torturing and killing Brahmins wherever they would see them. In those days in the Treta Yuga, usually great sages and rishis, they would live in the forest, away from the cities where there's so much passion and materialism. So the Rakshasas would specifically reside in those places most habitated by the Brahmins and the Rishis. Dandakaranya forest was a favorite place for yajna, for puja, for meditation, for worship, and especially for bhakti. Thus the Dandakaranya forest were filled with the most terrible Rakshasa demons under Ravana, who made his capital in Lanka. Even the demigods were terrified of him. So the information was given to the devatas that the Lord would appear in the Rahu dynasty. When Ram was just a small boy, Lakshman was his constant companion. And similarly, Bharat, the second son, who was born of the Queen Kaikeyi, he was constantly being served by Shatrughna, who was the brother of Lakshman, the daughter of Sumitra. I mean, the son of Sumitra. So as they grew, we know the story of how Vishwamitra Muni came and asked Dasarath that this terrible, terrible demon Maricha, associate of Ravan, he's spoiling our yajnas in the forest. I want to take Ram. Dasarath said, he's only 12 years old. Hardly 12 summers have shined on his head. He's a boy. He hasn't finished his education. He doesn't even know properly how to hold the weapons yet. He cannot go. I will go, and I will lead all the armies of Ayodhya. Vishwamitra Muni said to Dasarath, you will all be killed. Maricha is very powerful. Only Ram could destroy them. So ultimately, Dasarath was very much broken-hearted, but with the advice of his ministers, he understood you must give charity to a great Vaishnava when he asks. Hare Krishna. So he gave his own beloved son, Ram. This is Vedic culture. People like to talk Ramayana, but they do not like to live Ramayana. Ram went to the Yajna, and there the rishis were so much afraid, and he protected them. He killed one demon with his arrow, and another Maricha, he shot him 800 miles, he landed in the ocean. And then all the Brahmins blissfully praised Ram. And what did Ram do? He touched their feet and worshipped them. He played the role of a human being. Vishwamitra Muni then took Ram toward the holy city of Mithila, the kingdom of Janak. On the way, there was a stone on the ground. Vishwamitra Muni told Ram to place his lotus feet on that stone. As soon as Lord Ram put his foot, that stone turned into a beautiful, beautiful woman. Her name was Ahalya. She was the wife of Gautam Rishi. And she explained her story to Lord Ram, who asked, "How is it that you were a stone?" She said, "I was living with my husband, and when my husband was away, Indra disguised himself as my husband. And when my husband returned, he saw me intimately associating with who appeared to be him, but was not him. So he cursed Indra in such a way that ultimately he had eyes all over his body. And he cursed me to be a stone. I pleaded with him, 'Please, my husband, I thought he was you.' And I begged forgiveness and fell at his feet. He said, 'I cannot take back this curse. However, I will give you this benediction. When Lord Sri Ram, the Lord of the Raghu dynasty, comes to this place in the forest and puts his lotus feet on your head, you will attain your original form. But not only that, but you will achieve pure unalloyed devotion to him.'" Ahalya was so grateful to Ram. It was worth sitting as a stone for so many tens and thousands of years to get the dust of Ram's feet on her head and thus achieve love of God. Then she was reunited with Gautam Rishi, and they both celebrated the glories of Sri Ramachandra. When they came to Mithila, Vishwamitra Muni was showing him the beautiful, beautiful groves all around. So many flowers, so many trees, such opulence. Because Maharaj Janak was the very embodiment of pure devotion as a king. In fact, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, the example of one who lives and performs his duty in pure consciousness is Janaka. He ruled the kingdom, he had big family, he did everything perfectly in his duties, but offered all of his work in the loving service of Lord Sri Ram. Janak had the daughter Sita, who was born as he was plowing the ground. She came out. They were plowing it for a yajna. And he made a vow that no one would marry Sita unless he could lift and string the mighty, mighty bow of Lord Shankar. So, Ram, by the instruction of Vishwamitra Muni, lifted up that bow and he pulled it back. Not only did he lift it, but no person could have ever done. Thousands of people tried to lift it. They couldn't get it off the ground. Even Ravana came, but he couldn't do it. Ram lifted it as an elephant lifts a lotus flower. And he pulled it back so much that it broke. The sound of that cracking bow was a thunder that filled the entire universe. All living beings in the whole universe fell unconscious. That was the sound. Except Vishwamitra, Janak, Sita, Lakshman, and Ram. The news was sent to Ayodhya, and Dasarath was very, very happy. And Sita's cousins, she had three cousins, they married Ram's brothers. So there was a wonderful, wonderful marriage for Sita, Ram, Lakshman. I mean, Sita, Ram, and then Bharat, Shatrughna, and Lakshman. After this glorious, glorious marriage ceremony, which took place at Mithila, someday with Ram's grace we will have Yatra to Mithila. It's a beautiful place. 1972, I lived there for over a month and was there for Ram Navami. A very beautiful place. The Ram Bhaktas call it the Barsana of Ram Lila. Wow. In fact, I was told to go there by the Brijavasis because I had to leave Vrindavan. So, after the marriage, they came back to Ayodhya. Ram was hardly 12 years old when he was married, and I believe Sita was only about 6 years old. Something like that. So they came back to Ayodhya and they lived for about 12 years. And at the end of the 12th year, it was time for the coronation of Ram. And you know from Sri Valmiki Muni's Ramayana how Mantara, who was the maidservant of Kaikeyi, she was influenced by the demigods. Because the demigods, they wanted Ram to kill Ravana. So there had to be a plan. There had to be a good reason. So Mantara convinced Kaikeyi to be envious of Ram, who she loved so dearly. This is the power of that association. Even the person you love the most, God Himself, you can become His enemy by that association. What to speak of the rest of us? We have to be very careful who we associate with. Her consciousness was so much spoiled that she laid in her room the night before the coronation ceremony. And when Dasarath came to meet her, she knew exactly how to control his mind. Sometimes ladies know these tricks. So she was so disturbed up to the point where Dasarath said, I'll do anything for you. Just tell me how I can help you. She said, you have given me 2 boons in the past, when I helped you on the chariot during battle. You were defeated and I took you off and nursed you to care. And you offered me 2 boons. I never asked them. Today I am asking. Dasarath said, of course I will give these 2 boons. Anything. What do you want? I want Bharat to be coronated as king, and I want Ram to be exiled to the forest for 14 years. It was a thunderbolt upon Dasarath's heart. He fell to the ground, unconscious. He got up and then fell again unconscious, got up, fell. Trembling, what are you saying? Ram loves you more than as much as his own mother, and you have always loved him like your own son. Why? When Ram came before the coronation, looking for his father, they said he is in the chambers of Kaikeyi. He came there. And when he saw his father in this condition, he said, Father, why are you like this? His father could not speak. But Kaikeyi spoke. He has banished you to the forest for 14 years, and my son Bharat will be king. Hare Krishna. When Ram heard this, my father, if that is your desire, then I will go immediately. Do not be in anxiety. I am not attached to kingdom. I am attached to truth. Dasarath did not want him to go, but Ram would not allow his father to break his word. So it spread throughout the kingdom, especially when they saw, instead of Ram coming on a palanquin, he was walking. Then they knew the whole kingdom of Ayodhya was devastated. Kausalya, the mother of Ram, was beside herself in grief. What to speak of Sita and Lakshman? It is such a beautiful story. In essence, Ram told Sita that you must stay here and you'll be under the care of Kausalya and Dasarath. And my brother Bharat, he is my dearmost friend. They will all certainly protect you, and I will soon be back. Sita wept and cried, you cannot leave me here alone. When I took that vow in Mithila, I vowed to serve you under all circumstances. I vowed that you are the Lord and Master of my life. You cannot allow me to break this vow. You must let me go with you. Ram was explaining, what are the horrors of living in a jungle? Terrible heat in the summer, terrible freezing cold in the winter. All sorts of dangerous animals like wild elephants, lions, tigers, millions of poisonous snakes crawling around. So many mosquitoes and other types of biting insects. What to speak that these forests are filled with terrible blood-sucking rakshasas and rakshashis. You'll have to live in the bark of trees. How is this possible? You stay home. And I will come back. But Sita, she expressed that the only suffering I know is to not have the chance to serve you and to reciprocate with your love. And for that, if I have that, anything else is a blessing. But the kingdom of Ayodhya is more empty than a forest in hell without you. Her tears and her devotion conquered Lord Ram, and he said, yes, you come. Lakshman said, I'm coming too. I've never been apart from you, and I never will. So the three of them put on the bark of trees as the citizens of Ayodhya wept and wept and wept, and they left. As they left, the whole city came with them. Everyone. They decided, let the forest become a city, and let the city become a forest. Let Kaikeyi and Bharat live here alone. We do not like Ayodhya anymore without Ram. But Ram told him that to keep his father's word, he had to go alone as an ascetic. So they came with him for some time, and then he saw that they were very tired from walking all day long. So Ram, under a tree, took rest. All the citizens of Ayodhya took rest. And early, early morning, Ram woke up with his chariot driver, Sumantra. And with Lakshman and Sita, they boarded the chariot and secretly went away. When the residents of Ayodhya awoke, Ram was nowhere to be found. They were searching, looking everywhere, but they could not find him. With utterly broken hearts, tears pouring from their eyes, their limbs trembling in despair, they returned to Ayodhya. Meanwhile, Ram came to the kingdom of Maharaj Guhak, or Guha, who was a Nishada, an outcast person, but he was king of a tribe of such people. But he was such a great devotee. He offered his entire kingdom to Ram. If you are to be exiled in the forest, here is all my thousands and thousands of subjects. Here is all our wealth. We are all here to serve you. We are surrendered to you, Sri Ram. Most kings want to defend their power from others. Maguha wanted to give everything to Ram and be his humble servant. That is Vaishnava. Ram explained, to keep my father's word, I must live as a hermit. I cannot accept. So Maharaj Guha arranged a nice bed made out of grasses and flowers and offered nice herbs and roots to Ram, which was all he would accept. In this way, Guha Maharaj received the unlimited causeless mercy of Ram because of his simple but pure devotion. Is everyone able to hear? Shall I continue?
Yes.
As Lord Sri Ram, Sita and Lakshman were crossing the river Ganges, they worship Mother Ganga with great, great devotion. Sita offered a prayer, O Mother Ganga, in 14 years we will come back to cross you when we return to Ayodhya. Meanwhile, Ram sent Sumantra back, and when Dasarath heard the news of how Ram and Lakshman were living in the forest, and how Sita was weeping and crying to see Sumantra leaving, Dasarath could no longer contain his life. He wept and he wept and wept with the constant sound of Ram's name in his heart. And in that ecstasy of love and separation, his soul departed from this world for the destination of Vaikuntha. Ram went to Prayag, where he met with Varadraj Muni. There, Varadraj Muni welcomed Ram with such love, and Lord Ram, as the ideal personality, at that time he was about 25 years old, Sri Ram, when he was exiled to the forest. He worshipped Varadraj Muni. This was one of Ram's great qualities. He always worshipped and served the great sages, rishis, and brahmins. Ram asked Varadraj, where is a very, very nice place where I can stay that is very peaceful and is isolated from the people of the world, and where the citizens of Ayodhya will not find me? Varadraj Muni extolled the glories of the most beautiful place, such a forest with river, the Mandakini Ganga, flowing beautiful rivers and beautiful waterfalls, flowers, all auspicious trees, and so many great rishis and Vaishnavas performing their worship there. It is all surrounding a mountain called Chitrakoot. He gave him the directions. So Ram lived with Sita and Lakshman in Chitrakoot. And it is that place where Bharat came to beg Ram to come back. I will accept the exile for 14 years, and you go back and rule the kingdom of Ayodhya. But Ram said, no, no. We must keep our father's word. So Bharat had Ram step on some shoes, and he put those sandals on the throne. And Bharat went to a village outside of Ayodhya called Nandigram, and there he performed tapasya for those 14 years. He slept on the ground in a straw hut, fasting, only taking some barley soaked in cow urine. Would never accept any of the luxuries or privileges of the kingdom. And his mind was constantly immersed in thinking of Ram, chanting his holy name. There was no disturbances in Chitrakoot. It was the most sweet, intimate life. Ram, Sita, and Lakshman lived together so peacefully, serving the sages, bathing in Mandakini Ganga, performing the most beautiful pastimes. But Ram understood that his purpose for descending to this earth was to kill Rakshasas. No Rakshasas ever came to Chitrakoot. So Ram decided that it is time to enter deep into the Dandakaranya forest. The sages and the Vaishnavas in Chitrakoot, they were weeping and crying as Lord Ram was leaving. But they embraced him always within their hearts. And Ram told them, I will never leave this forest in Chitrakoot. My body may be leaving, but my spirit will always be here. As they roamed through Dandakaranya forest, they came upon big, big, terrible asura. His name was Viradha. He was like a mountain. He had huge eyes, black complexion, red hair. His teeth were sharp fangs. And when he saw Ram, Lakshman, and Sita, he became very angry. He smelled terrible too, because he used to smear his body with the blood and the fat of dead humans and animals. That was for Rakshasas, that's like perfume. One man's food is another man's blood. So he looked at Ram and Lakshman. He said, "You are hermits with the matted hair, and you have deer skin and tree bark on your bodies. That means you are sages, but you are holding bows and arrows. What nonsense, sage? You're supposed to be thinking that God will protect you. Why are you holding bows and arrows? And not only that, but you're living as renunciates, and you have this beautiful woman with you. You are hypocrites. You are a disgrace to the renounced order. Therefore, today you will die, and I will take you, this beautiful woman, for myself." So he picked up Sita. He said, "I will take her to be my wife, and I will eat your flesh and drink your blood." So as he picked up Sita, she was weeping and crying, "Ram, save me." Ram saw this mountainous, huge beast. But playing the role as a human, he began to cry. He said, "Oh, Sita, how will I live without you? You're being taken away by this man. What will I do? Better I don't live any longer." Lakshman said, "Ram, why are you crying? We can easily kill this demon. I am your servant. Just order me. I'll show you what I will do to him." Ram wanted to show his love for Sita in separation. Thus, they started shooting arrows at Virata. And he became very angry. He understood this is a good fight. So he put down Sita, and then he picked up Ram and Lakshman, and decided, "I'm going to kill you, but I'm going to take you deep into the forest to kill you." As he was carrying them away, Sita was crying, "Ram, how will I live without you? You are my only love. I will end my life if I don't have you." So then Ram said to Lakshman, "We should end this demon's life now." So they took their swords and cut off his arm. He fell to the ground. They started stabbing him and beating him and stabbing him and beating him and kicking him and throwing rocks on him and punching him, but he didn't die. He had a benediction that no weapon could kill him. So finally they dug a big, big hole in the ground, and they threw him in the hole in the ground, and they started burying him. And just when he was on the verge of death, he began to speak. He said, "Actually, I'm a demon like this, but really, I'm a celestial demigod. My name is Chumburu. And I was cursed by a great sage to become like this. But when I begged him to forgive me, he told me that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ram, kills you, then you will come back to your original position." So then he died by the mercy of Sri Ramchandra. They continued their travels through Dandakaranya forest. They came to a place which was the ashram of a great sage of the name Sutikshna, Sri Ramchandra, Lakshman, Sita worshipped his lotus feet, offered him all respect. He in turn treated them as wonderful guests. In the course of their dialogue, the great sage explained to Ram how there are so many sages in this forest who have been killed by the Rakshasas. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. There's places in the Dandakaranya forest where you can just see the bones of great rishis who are tortured, murdered, eaten by these Rakshasas. They will not allow anyone to chant any mantras. They will not allow anyone to chant the names of the Lord. They will not allow anyone to even perform yajna. That is their business. They'll kill anyone and anything, but especially they are hunting for Brahmins and Rishis. So please, Ram.
There is a talent in which is circumambulated every day to this time once. So they will just come followed by some.
He appealed to Ram to perform this work of killing the Rakshasas of the Dandakaranya forest. Sita heard this. She understood then what the mission of her husband would be. They later came. Ram was especially looking for the ashram of Agastya Muni, knowing that he lived only two yojanas from where we are now. So when Lord Ram came to Agastya Muni, he fell at the feet of this great sage, worshipped him with great honor. And the great sage Agastya worshipped Ram as his Lord. That particular place where Agastya Muni was living, he performed many wonderful, wonderful activities. One of them is he came there to kill two terrible, terrible Rakshasas. One's name was Vatapi and the other was Ilvala. They were a team and their business was to kill great personalities who worship God. The way they would do it is Ilvala would disguise himself as a Brahmin. Very gentle, handsome, harmless looking Brahmin. And what he would do is he would go and invite these great sages and rishis to come to his home. He explained that he was performing the shraddha for his departed relatives. And you have to get the best possible Brahmin to take the remnants of the offering of the shraddha for it to be successful. So he would say, please, please, oh great sage, come and take the remnants of my father and forefather Shraddha. So of course they wanted to please this nice looking Brahmin. But what he would do is his other friend, Vatapi, he would take the form of a sheep. Ilvala would kill the sheep and make them into little pieces of meat and then put it hidden in the Shraddha Prasad. Hare Krishna. Do you want to hear the rest of the story? Vatapi was a great mystic. The Brahmin would eat it. Then Ilvala, he would just call out, Vatapa! Vatapi! Come out now! Vatapi, come out! And then Vatapi, who has a little piece of food in his house, in his stomach, would assume his full form and just rip his way out of the belly of that Brahmin and completely tear him to pieces. And then they would eat the remnants of him. So they killed thousands and thousands and thousands of Brahmins in this way. There's a pelican procession just coming. We have to stand up to let it pass. Sumuni heard all these gate Brahmins are being killed by these Rakshasas. So he came to the Dandakaranya forest. And Ilvala invited him to take the Shraddha remnants. So Gasimuni said, yes, yes, certainly I will take. So he ate it. And then Vatapi called out, Ilvala called out, Vatapi, Vatapi, now, come out, come out! Usually he would just come ripping through the stomach to kill the person. But this time nothing happened. Ilvala said, Vatapi, come out, come out! Agastya Muni said, with the fire of my digestion, I have burned him to death. Agastya Muni is very famous for having very strong fire of digestion. When he heard out that his Rakshasa killing partner was killed, Ilvala became so angry. He just roared in his original form and went to attack Agastya Muni, who just looked at him and by his glance burned Ilvala to ashes, thus protecting the Brahmins of Dandakaranya. When Ram, Sita and Lakshmi approached Agastya Muni, Agastya Muni gave Ram the bow of Mahavishnu. He said, take this bow and use it to kill the Rakshasas. And here is the quiver of Indra, the astras of the gods. He gave him swords and shields that were all used by Vishnu himself to kill demons. Full of powers. Ram took them with great reverence, bowed at the feet of Agastya Muni. Then Lord Ram explained that we want to find a very nice, beautiful, peaceful place to stay, where there is nice river and waters, forests and flowers, many, many rishis living. Can you tell us where we can find such a place? Agastya Muni explained, yes, only two yojanas from my ashram here is Panchavati. It is a beautiful place. He described the beauty and glories and Puranic histories of this place. Following the instructions of Agastya Muni, Lord Ram, along with Sita and Lakshman, came to Panchavati. Ram told Lakshman, please find a very beautiful place to build our house. I would like it to be a place that is close to a water, where there's beautiful flower-bearing and fruit-bearing trees surrounding it, because Sita likes that type of atmosphere. Find the most beautiful, charming place for Sita to enjoy. And also, I would like if it also has nice, flat, sandy ground to sleep on. Lakshman told Ram, I am your servant and your slave. You choose the place, and I will build your house. So Ram looked around, and he came to this very place where we are sitting right now. And he was so much charmed by the beauty and the purity of this atmosphere. He said, Lakshman, build our house right here. Lakshman, with great great, great devotion. He got the poles of bamboo to make the pillars for the house. He took the holy soil of Panchavati, made it into mud to make the walls of the house. Then he took branches, leaves and flowers to make the roof of the house. And the very sand of this holy place was the floor. It was a beautiful, beautiful little forest-dwelling cottage built by the loving hands of Lakshmi as the residence for Sita and Ram. They lived very, very peacefully here until one day. We will describe that story when we come to that particular place. We will end the narration here for now. But I'd like to speak very briefly about some of the places that we'll try to see today. It is not too dark. We'll be going to a place called Sita Gufa. Sita Gufa is the place where when the Rakshasas would attack, Ram would keep Sita hidden in this cave when he would fight them. When Kara and Dushan, Trishira came, she was in that Gufa. That is the place also where Lakshman would stay to protect her when Ram would be fighting demons. Panchavati, the five banyan trees, were of the five Rishi Kumars who were taking this form by the mercy of Suryadev, which we spoke of previously. We will also see Sita Harana. Actually, we will go there tomorrow. I'm sorry. We will go there tomorrow. On our way to Tapovan. Tapovan tomorrow was the place where Lakshman did his tapasya and where Surpanaka came to meet Ram and Lakshman. We will continue our narrations tomorrow in those places. Another very important part of our yatra is not only hearing the glories and meditating on the pastimes of Lord Ram and praying for his mercy, but constantly chanting the holy names. During this yatra, if we're not hearing katha or speaking katha, we should keep our lips always filled with the holy names. This is the Kala Ram Mandir. We are sitting in the very place where Lord Sri Ram, Sita, and Lakshman lived during their entire stay here in Panchavati, the home of Sri Ram. Let us pray. Let us pray that these wonderful leelas may forever be worshipped within the core of our hearts. To the degree we are attracted to the names and the pastimes of the Lord, to that very same degree we become detached from the sources of misery of material life. How the King of Vaikuntha descends to this world to live here in a little earthen hut with a roof of leaves, sleeping on the ground itself. How the Lord of Vaikuntha lives in such a simple and beautiful way, fully satisfied with his divine consort. But his ultimate purpose for coming here was to free the world of the burden of the demoniac influence that was corrupting real religion. So let us pray to Shri Ram and Sita Devi. Let us pray to Shri Lakshman, who is the original spiritual master. Lakshman is incarnation of Balaram, incarnation of Nityananda Prabhu. They make all arrangements for the Supreme Lord's pastimes. Let us pray to Lakshman Dev that by his causeless mercy, through his representatives, that our heart could also be such a pure dwelling place where Sitaram will want to reside and kill all the asuras of our material desires. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki Śrī Sitāram Lakṣman Hanumān ji ki Vidhāi Gopinān Thank you very much. Now we will have kirtan to Sita Gufa. It's a small place. That's why we're telling this story here. We'll just walk by it and look at it and then we will return to the Kapaleshwar Mahadev temple. Should I tell that story also? You are still awake? It is explained in the Padma Purana by Markandeya Rishi that once Lord Brahma is born with four heads, but on one particular kalpa, he assumed a fifth head.
Hare Krishna.
Huh?
Five.
Five head, yes. He assumed an extra one. The four heads were chanting the Vedas, but his other head talked some prajapa. So Lord Shiva didn't like this. So he cut off his head. That head, not the others. But then he on his head was, on his trident was that head of Brahma. So he was thinking, now I have killed Brahma's head. That is Brahmahatya, killing a Brahman. So I have to somehow atone and purify myself of this. So he went to so many holy places. But he couldn't get that head off his trident. It wouldn't come off. He just couldn't get it off. So he knew as long as it's there, that means the sin is still on me. So he went here, there, everywhere. Ultimately, he came here. But the kapala means what? Kapala means head. So Brahma Kapala means Brahma's head. So he came to where the Kapala Ishwara temple is, and he was just lamenting, I don't know how I will purify myself of this sin. So he decided to spend the night there. And as he was kind of trying to sleep that night, he heard a calf talking with a cow. The calf explained that the cowherd man who is our owner is a very cruel, malicious, demoniac person. His name is Deva Sharma. And the calf said, tomorrow when he comes to put that ring in my nose and torture me, I'm going to kill him. So the mother said, he might be a demon and a rascal, but he's a Brahmin. And there's a great sin for killing a Brahmin. You cannot kill a Brahmin. The calf said, I know just the place where I can become free from the sin of killing this Brahmin. Shiva was listening very carefully. The next day, the little calf killed Devasharma, the demon Brahmin. So Shiva was watching. What's this calf going to do? The calf was pure white, but after killing the Brahmin, he turned pitch black. Then he came. The little calf went to Ramakund, where we just bathed, and he jumped in. Little calf jumped in and came out, and he was pure white. After seeing this, Shiva jumped in Ramakund. When he came out, there was no head on his trunk. At that time, Lord Vishnu descended and installed the Kapaleshwar Mahadev Lingam and said to Lord Shiva, I want you always to reside here to glorify the potency of this holy place, Ramakund, in Panchavati Nasik. And this place is also called Hara Hari Kshetra because there is a beautiful temple of Lord Narayan and also that beautiful temple of Kapaleshwar Mahadev. So it is just on our way back to where we will be taking prasad this evening. So we will go there also. Huh?
Sundar Narayan.
There you go. We were supposed to go to Tapovan, but we will go there tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a very busy day. We will announce. But for now, let us go to Sita Gupa, the place where the cave where Sita was hidden when Ram and Lakshman were fighting with Rakshasas. And we will also go to Sita Harana, where where Sita was kidnapped and taken away by Ravana. That we will go tomorrow. Thank you for your time. Hare Krishna.